First Peter chapter 4, verse 12 through verse 19. If you'll remain standing for the reading of the word of the Lord. Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is designed to try you or to test you. I want you to notice that word. Two different places in the Bible. Don't think it's strange. How many's ever been going through something in your life? Thank you. And you said, wow, why did that happen to me? That's out of place. That's strange. But what did God say? Don't think it strange. When the fiery trial comes to test you as though something strange has happened to you. Next verse. But complain about it. But feel sorry for yourself. But accuse God of not loving you. I need y'all to wake up now. It's time for the word. But rejoice. When the fire gets so hot that you can't take it no more, what will separate the wheat from the tares is the ones that rejoice versus the ones that complain. That's what the difference is. Inasmuch as you are partakers of Christ's suffering, that when his glory shall be revealed, you may be glad with an exceeding joy. Next verse. If you be reproached for the name of Christ, you should be happy. For the spirit of glory and of God resteth. How do you know when the spirit of God is resting on you? I'm fixing to show you. I'm not going to show you. The word's going to show you. How do you know that you're walking in the spirit? He just told you. If you're going through the fire, and if you got folks mad at you, and if you got trouble, and yet you're happy about it. Then you know the Spirit of God is upon you. You ever heard the old song, don't worry, be happy? See, that's for the believer. This, if you don't feel happiness in your life and joy, you're not walking under the Spirit of God. You're walking under another spirit, the spirit of this age. Or on their part, he is evil spoken of. But on your part, he's glorified. Do you know how God is glorified? Not when you say hallelujah. I need you to help me now. Not when you lift your hands and shout hallelujah. But here's when God is glorified. When you're happy about your troubles. What separates you from the world? I feel like I'm preaching to somebody now. I know I'm preaching to me. How do you know the Spirit of God's upon you when everything is against you and you're happy about it? God, give me your spirit. Somebody say more. More, Lord. I want to be happy when I'm not supposed to be happy. Next verse. But let none of you suffer as a murderer or a thief or an evildoer or as a busybody in other men's matters. Now, notice what he said. He said there's a difference in suffering and trials that you brought on yourself for these things. You can't talk about you don't want drama in your life when you create drama. You can't talk about I'm having trouble when the popo arrests you for stealing. See, that's not the kind of suffering he's talking about. Oh, no. Listen, we'll show you what he's talking about. Read. Yet if any man suffer as a believer or a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on this behalf. Read. For the time has come that judgment must... Oh, y'all thought I was going to preach a happy sermon, didn't you, the way I was going? I tried, but then I got stopped right here. Judgment must begin at the house. Take that word house out. That's a bad translation. It should say at the family of God. What lives in your house? Your judgment does not begin with the world. I preached it last Sunday night if you weren't here. It begins with the family. Woo. And if it first begins with us, what shall the end be of them that obey not? See, when judgment starts with us, we come into what? Obedience. But for the world, they go further into rebellion. What shall the end be for them? Read. And if the righteous scarcely be saved. Now, for you once saved, always saved, folks. Read it again. If the righteous, those that's living right, barely make it in that first resurrection. You know what the Apostle Paul said? He said, I don't count myself as to have apprehended the first resurrection. You know your Bible said that? He said, I don't know if I'm going to make it. Church, your Bible says that. He says, but I do know that I'm going to seek after it with everything I've got. Where shall the ungodly and the sinner appear? Next verse. Wherefore let them that suffer, get ready, according to the will of God, commit the keeping of their souls to him by just placing their faith in Christ. Is anybody awake? Is that what your Bible says? How do we commit our souls to God? Oh, by just believing. Well, the devil believes. How do we? By well doing. And what does God call well doing? Obedience. Tonight I want to preach to you that the bread is still baking. Amen. You may be seated tonight. Now, ladies and gentlemen, every year there are a group of people on the earth that do not keep the holidays of this world. They're a different people. They're a strange lot. They keep a different set of holidays called the Feast of Israel. And it just happens tonight that we're right in the middle of one of those feasts. Now, I will not be here to celebrate the feast with you. I've got to go back to work next week for 2 weeks. But the Feast of God is June the 7th. That's the last day of the Feast of First Fruit. Now, that's called the day of what? Pentecost. What does the word Pentecost mean? 50. The number 50 in Greek is Penta. That's where we get the Pentateuch, which is the five books of Moses. 550 Penta. So if you're a Pentecostal, you're a 50. That's what you are. Okay? Now, that takes place June the 7th. That is a commanded assembly. If you are in this local area on June the 7th, Mom and Daddy will have the doors open here that night at 6 o'clock. You really, God said to be there on that holy day. So make sure that you're here. I will be here with you, but I'll be streaming. I'll be watching live. But June the 7th is Pentecost Sunday. Make sure that every one of you come, because God said, I want to teach you a lesson that will change your life. Now, the book of 1 Peter tells us, and they have church here every Sunday night at 6 o'clock, but June the 7th is a commanded assembly. Make sure that you're definitely here for that. Now, Peter said that judgment begins with you. If you're in this room tonight, 9 times out of 10, you've given your life to Christ. Whenever you came to the altar and gave your life to Christ, Sister Stephanie, you made a covenant with God. And here's what that covenant was. It was an adoption covenant. You were adopted into the family of God. You left the family of Adam, and you were adopted into the family of God. You, at that moment, gave God permission to be your father. So guess what else you gave him permission to do? To treat you like a child. Okay? And he's going to do it. Listen to what I'm telling you now. Judgment or correction begins with everyone in this room before it begins with the mayor or the police force or anybody else. Listen to me. How many has been watching the news today with all the riots? I want to tell you something. If you're in this room tonight, you are not of this world. Get your head out of carnal things and move up a little higher and be the light of the world. Speak truth and do not speak carnality. You are a different people. You are the family of Yahweh. You've been called into a holy calling. Now, many of us in this room tonight, how many in this room came from a Pentecostal spirit-filled background? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. The majority in this room comes from Pentecostal backgrounds. I'm fourth generation. My wife, I believe, is third generation. We have a long history in the events of Pentecost. Now, I was shocked when I got older and realized that Pentecost, the day of Pentecost, is a holy day. It is a feast of Israel. Now, we will all come together on the 50th day and celebrate the day of Pentecost. And we will celebrate what happens on that day. But I want to preach to you tonight that the Feast of Pentecost is not about the 50th day. No, no, no. No, no, no. It's about surviving the 49 days. Y'all wake up now. The 50th day is not what the celebration is about. It's about the fact that for those 49 days, somehow we made it through. Somehow, in a world of sin, we held on till the 50th day or until the end of the race. We're getting ready now to celebrate what God is doing in our lives on a daily, daily, daily basis. Pentecost, brothers and sisters, the infilling of the Holy Ghost. Now, let me talk to you a little bit. We are good as Pentecostals about preaching about the infilling of the Holy Ghost. I've been preaching it all my life, but I'm afraid that we don't quite understand why we need the infilling of the Holy Ghost. Because when you received the Holy Ghost, you did not arrive anywhere. No. When you received the down payment of your inheritance, you arrived nowhere. When you get to the starting line, you hadn't got nowhere. I need you to work with me now. Brother Vaughn, I remember when I got the Holy Ghost. I do too. It means absolutely nothing if it doesn't get you through the 49 days of trouble and testings and trials of your faith. You don't need the Holy Ghost to speak in tongues or to cast out devils. What you need the Holy Ghost for is to finish what you started, to finish the race that you began in an altar. God is not worried about your starting point. He's watching for where you wind up on the 50th day. This baptism of the Holy Spirit. Sister Stephanie, I'm going to say this. Brother Vaughn, I need the Holy Ghost so I can have power. Well, you don't understand what power is. The word power, exousia in Greek, means authority. We got a lot of people wanting power. They love to lay hands on people and they hit the floor. And they love to prophesy and they love, and I'm not against it, I do it. But brothers and sisters, that is the least, that is the bottom, that is the last of the purpose of the day of Pentecost. God could care less about your power unless it gives you authority over sin, unless it gives you authority over a life of sin. It's not worth anything. How many's ever heard somebody say, "Woo!" How many's ever heard somebody say, "I can do all things through Christ"? But when they tell you why they can't live for God, well, nobody can, you know, live for God perfect. Oh, no, but the Holy Ghost can. And if you receive the Holy Ghost, it makes you an overcomer, not a complainer, not a crybaby, not somebody that gives up every day. You've got to make it through 49 days of trouble to get to the number 50. Yes, the moment somebody said, "When I came to Jesus, I found rest. He is my Sabbath." First of all, you can't find one scripture that says Jesus is your Sabbath. Because brothers and sisters, you were at rest before you found Jesus. It wasn't until you found Jesus that your butt went to war. See, before you were filled with the Holy Ghost, you was at peace in sin. You could dope it up, smoke it up, choke it up, sex it up, lay it up. You could do it all without one moment of a battle in your mind. But the moment you received the earnest of your inheritance, you got a preacher that moved inside of your head, and a war started that day, and it will not end until the 50th day when you have finished the 49 days. Paul said, "Don't think it strange when the fiery trials of those 49 days stay in your life day in and day out. Trouble on my left, trouble on my right, but in this will I be confident. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear?" Oh, Brother Vaughn, 50th day is here. What about the 49? What about when you get a call from the doctor that says you're dying? Can you do what Paul said? Be happy about it. Listen to me, you don't have no Holy Ghost if you're not happy in the fire. I want to tell you what the Holy Ghost will do. The Holy Ghost will give you keeping power. When you got the real deal, you don't know how to backslide. You don't even know how to back up. You don't know how to turn around. You don't know how to give up, because you got something that gives you power over the fire of your faith. This is what we're celebrating. Now, today, what day is it? Does anybody know of the feast? The count of the Omar, I believe it's about the 40, I'm supposed to be counting. I believe around the 39th day. And every day that we've been counting this Omar, it's been trouble on every hand. But I want to tell you today, Paul said that you need to learn the 49 days is your friend. I want to show you what the Holy Ghost is for. Go to the book of Jeremiah 31 through 33. Jeremiah 31, chapter 31 rather, and verse 33. I want to see if you really got the Holy Ghost. Oh, Brother Vaughn, I spoke in tongues. Like I said, I want to see if you really got the Holy Ghost. Oh, hallelujah. Let's let the word talk to us. Jeremiah 31. Why don't we start at verse 32, Brother Kent? Hallelujah. Brother Kent, I appreciate the fine job you do back there. These so important to have these scriptures up here where people can look at them. The book of Jeremiah 31, 32, and 33. We're counting right now. It's the 39th day of the feast. We're counting up to the 50th day. Yes, we're going to celebrate on June the 7th, but we're going to celebrate the 49 days of trouble and how we was happy about our troubles through it all. That's how you know the Holy Spirit is upon you. Now, I tell you, go to verse 31, can you? Now, I want to show you, as a Pentecostal, we have preached about this infilling for many years. But I want to show you what God says about it in verse 31 of Jeremiah chapter 31. Hallelujah. This is a promise of God to send His Spirit to His people in the last days. If you can't get it there, I'll read it if somebody wants to bring me a Bible. There we go. Behold, the days come, says Yahweh, that I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. He don't make it with Gentiles. No, this new covenant, if you're a Gentile, you don't have a covenant. No. Only Israel has a covenant. And you have to be grafted into Israel or you don't have a covenant. And you're grafted in by the circumcision or the infilling of the Holy Ghost. I'll make a new covenant, next verse. Not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day that I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, which my covenant they broke, although I was a husband to them, says Yahweh. Next verse. But this will be the covenant. How many in this room is a new covenant Christian? Can I see your hand? New covenant believer. We're fixing to find out. I'm going to make a new covenant with the house of Israel. After those days, saith Yahweh, I will put my law inside of their minds, and I will write it. I will write my law in their thinking, and will be their God. And they will be my people. Listen to me carefully. If the Holy Ghost that you received gave you new tongues, but it did not write holiness in your mind, if it didn't write the law of God inside of you, then you no wonder you can't endure. Because the true Holy Ghost comes wrapped up with a holy life, with separated living from the world. Listen to me carefully. Tongues don't matter if you don't walk a life with the laws of God written from the top of your head to the sole of your foot. Is that it? Go to the next verse. So, the new covenant is what? What is the new covenant? Obey my law. But Brother Vaughn, Jesus did away with it. Well, then how we got a new covenant then? Because the first covenant was built on the law. Now we're not talking about the laws of blood and animals and bulls and goats. We're speaking about the Ten Commandment law of God. This law comes with the Holy Ghost baptism. Now don't take me wrong. I never discounted the gifts of the Spirit. But they must be accordingly applied to the true purpose of the day of Pentecost. Now, we're in a transition period. And I want to talk to you about the transition. Brother Patrick, you are in a transition period. The 49 days that we're counting right now, Sister Hope, are the days of transition. And I want to talk to you about the transition. Go with me to the book of Leviticus, chapter 23 and verse 10. And we're going to read every verse there to verse 17. Now we're going to talk about the feast of first fruit. If God did away with his festivals, then we've got a problem with the word of God. Let's read it in Leviticus 23, verse 10, and we'll start there. Speak to the children of Israel. Question, do we have any children of Israel in this house tonight? All right. Now, somebody might have a problem with that. You may not understand what I'm saying. You say, I'm a Gentile. No, you are not. What did Paul tell us? In times past, you were Gentiles. But now, you have been grafted into what? The children of Israel. Speak to them and say to them, when you come into the land which I give you and shall reap the harvest, then you shall bring a sheaf of the first fruit of your harvest to the priest. Now this happened about 39 days ago after the resurrection of Christ. He was the sheaf of the first fruit. Let's read. And he shall wave the sheaf before Yahweh. When did that happen? When Yahshua was ascending to heaven, he said, I go to my God and your God. I go to my father and your father. Why was he going there? To be waved before and accepted as the sacrificial offering. Read. You shall wave it, and you shall offer that day when you wave the sheaf a lamb without blemish of the first year for a burnt offering unto the Lord. Read. And the meat offering shall be 2/10 deals of flour for a sweet savor. The drink offering shall be of wine, 1/4 part of a hin. Read. And you shall eat neither bread nor corn nor green ears until the day that you have brought an offering unto your God. It shall be a statue until Jesus comes. It shall be a statue forever. Throughout all your dwellings, is forever over? That's why we still keep it. Read. And you shall count. Somebody say count. That's what we're doing right now. We're on day 39. You shall count. From the morrow after the Sabbath, which is Sunday, from the day that you brought the sheaf of the wave offering, 7 Sabbaths. This is the 5th of the 7th Sabbath tonight. 7 Sabbaths you shall count. Read. Even the morrow after the 7th Sabbath. Do you know when the morrow after the 7th Sabbath is? June the 7th. That's why we do it. You're not going to believe why we do this. Because we can point. Do you know I can point to every holiday I keep in the Bible? I can point where I'm commanded to keep it. Now you point to me where you're commanded to keep Christmas and Easter, and we'll talk about it. I can point to every holiday I keep as a Bible command to be kept. Y'all act like y'all done forgot this message, children. To be kept forever. Even to the June the 7th shall you number 50 days. And you shall offer a meat offering unto the Lord. The next verse. And then on the 50th day, I want you to pay attention. When we started this count, what did we start with? One piece of barley or grain. One grain of barley. One little piece of barley. This festival 39 days ago started with this. Watch me. One little man called Yeshua or Jesus. Just one. Stay with me. Remember the title of tonight's sermon. The bread is still baking. Every loaf of bread starts with a grain of wheat. It started with this. They went and put this in the ground, covered it up. Because what has to happen to every seed for it to grow? It has to go in the ground and what? Die. There he is. This is the sheaf of the first fruit. But notice what God says, and please listen carefully. This was not the focus of this feast. Oh, no. No, no, no. These 50 days is not about this. It's about what this produces 50 days later. He said on the 50th day, I want you to go in your houses and get two big loaves of garlic bread. You may not have said garlic, but you know, that's the good kind. He said, I want you to go in your house. I don't want you to get a grain of wheat this time. No. Because the purpose of this feast is not to celebrate Jesus. Oh, no. On the 50th day, this has grown into two loaves of bread. He said, now I want you to go get me those two witnesses. I want you to go in the house and bring out spirit and truth. I want you to go and bring me a mature church. One that's been baking in the fire. Thinking not strange children when the fire is turned up on the bread. The only thing that will cause yeast to rise is fire, heat. Don't think it's strange when I start with my people turning up the fire because the bread is still baking for what I want to do in my church. Woo! When y'all come together June the 7th, I won't be here. But I want somebody to bring those two loaves of bread to this church. And I want you to shout and dance. Why? Because we shouted about Jesus on the resurrection. But on the day of Pentecost, I'm shouting about me and you and what God is doing in our life through the Holy Ghost. That Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost comes in. Here he is. He comes in. Somebody say the down payment. There it is. That's why the Bible said, I've begotten you by the seed of the word. Here's that one little sheaf that comes into your life when you come to the altar, when you get in the waters of baptism. A little seed drops down in there. Huh? Woo! I feel my help now. And then once that little grain of wheat gets inside of you, the next thing that's got to happen, somebody got to turn up the heat. Have you ever heard a believer tell you that everything was going good in my life until I got saved? You know why, don't you? Judgment begins. The furnace is burning. The family of God. Because those two loaves of bread represent what God is doing. What is God doing? Transforming you. When you received the Holy Ghost, listen to me, you was an animal. Please listen to me. You was like those people riding today in Minnesota. You was an animal. You was like that police officer that killed a young man the other day. You were an animal. You was like that adulterer that cheated on his wife. You was like a dog in heat. You was an animal. You was an old beast. You did what you wanted to do when you wanted to do it. You had no constraints. The bridle had to come in your mouth when you got the Holy Ghost. You was a wild stallion running free. But then you told the Lord at the altar, I want to join your family. See, you thought you came to get saved. You came to get burnt. I'm sorry they didn't tell you that. I'm sorry they didn't tell you that part. But I'm going to tell you something. Now, if you jump out of the fire, then you just prove that the Spirit of God is not upon you. But when you got happy about the fire, woo! When you rejoiced at the fire of God in your life, that's how you know that the Spirit of God is living inside of you. Happy. Somebody say, I'm happy on fire. God is turning up the heat. Let me read it to you. Can I read it to you? Somebody said, let's go to Matthew 3 and 11, and we're about to close. Let's go to Matthew 3 and 11 quickly. How many's ever heard the Christian folks, the Pentecostals, the Spirit-filled folks say, I was baptized with the Holy Ghost and what? Fire. Oh, I'm afraid we didn't know what we was talking about. Somebody said, I want to be baptized with fire. Oh, I don't know about that. I want to show you what the baptism of fire is. Are you ready? Matthew chapter 3, verse 11 and verse 12. Here's what happens when you receive the Holy Spirit during the Feast of Pentecost, on the day of Pentecost. I'm going to baptize you with water unto repentance. But he that comes after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I'm not worthy to bear. He's going to give you two baptisms. Now stay with me. He's going to give you the infilling of the Holy Spirit because you asked him for it. When you were baptized, you said, fill me. He's going to give it to you. And right after he baptizes you with the Holy Ghost, he's going to baptize you with something else. With some fire. Why? Because the bread is baking. It started with old tough dough. But for it to become usable in the kingdom of God, somebody's got to put it up to about 350, to about 425. Ooh, Shambhavahaya. That way God can feed you to the world. That way God can feed you to a lost and dying world. Oh, listen. Next verse. And when he baptizes you with fire, his fan's going to be in his hand. How many's ever been to an old, Karen and I went to a shop in Gatlinburg where they were making, metals. It was a blacksmith. And when that metal wouldn't ply, when it wouldn't bend, yeah, what'd they do, sister? They get the fan going, don't they? Shabababahaya. A little more fire. See, you wanted the Holy Ghost, but I don't know if you really want the fire. He said when he baptized you with fire, he's got a fan in his hand to make that fire hotter every time you need it to get hotter. Every time you become unpliable and you get mad and you want to do it your way, he said, hold on, you gave me permission, baby. You begged me to do what I'm doing. Don't get mad about it. Rejoice. Think it not some strange thing when I turn up the fire. Don't think it's some strange thing when I don't heal you when you ask me to. I'm watching to see if when I don't heal you, how you respond. And if you come back with, well, I thought the Lord was a healer. You want some baptized fire? I'm going to give it to you because I'm going to burn the I'm gonna burn it all out of you. I'm going to burn every drop of it out of you. Every drop of the devil. Every drop that looks like hell. I'm going to burn it out of you. Why? Because you asked me to. Sons of God, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the fire. Because you don't get the fourth man until you get in the fire. The fourth man is the Holy Ghost. He'll come into your fire and he'll take that hot fire and turn it into the coolest breeze of refreshment you've ever felt in your life. It'll taste like a drink of living water, even though it burns, even though it's hot. Think it not strange when I send the fire to try you. That's what you ask me for. Because judgment begins with the family. See, when Yahweh, when the second coming happens, the Bible said he's coming with fire in his eyes for the world. The Bible said when he opens his mouth, it'll be so hot that people's skin will melt off their bone. But can I tell you, before he does it to the world, he's doing it to the bread first. Now you know why we're called first harvest. We're first. First resurrection. First judgment. First testing. First burning. Because whenever he gets us ready, then he can turn in the millennium to the whole world and offer them the bread of life through his sons that will bring revival from one end of the earth to the other. Why? Because everything that looked like Stephanie was burnt out. Everything that looked like Hope was burnt out. Everything that looked like Butch was burnt out. And all that's left is the grain that was started in you. The bread is still baking. God, burn me a little more. And I'm going to thoroughly purge my floor. Not the whole floor. My floor. This is his floor. This is why he calls us into sacred assembly, so that we can burn in his presence. And I'm going to gather the wheat. Listen, the only way that barley becomes wheat is through the threshing floor. You started out in your walk with God as old rough barley. Stay with me, I'm almost done. How many's ever seen how rough barley is? You can't make no bread with barley. I need your full attention now. You can't make nothing with barley. All you can do is feed the animals. But notice what he said. When I give you the Holy Ghost, I'm going to start pumping up the fire, turn you into wheat. Hushababaya. I'm going to turn you into bread. I'm going to turn you into the purpose of Pentecost, to create Smyrna and Philadelphia, to create, y'all don't know what the two witnesses, to create the two witnesses that's going to come forth from the fire of judgment that happens in the house of God. But for those that will not bake, I'm going to burn them all the way up. There's your baptism of fire. Sure you want it? I'm closing. And y'all are fine. This is my first close. I've not said that yet. You're about right. I've got two verses after that. But anyway, I want to turn in closing to Revelation 6 and 6. Would it make y'all feel better if I ask Karen to come to the piano? That normally means I'll hurry. Well, I'm not ready for her yet. Revelation 6 and 6. Is anybody getting anything out of this feast of Pentecost? Hallelujah. Revelation 6 and 6. I want to show you something now. This really is my final few scriptures. Revelation 6 and 6. I heard a voice in the midst of the four beasts say, from this moment forward, saints, you got to put your spiritual thinking cap on with me. We're going into the spirit now. A measure of wheat for a penny, and three measures of barley for a penny. But see that you don't hurt the oil and the wine. What he says here is that at the coming of the Lord, I will place very little value on barley Christians. Oh yeah. What is barley Christians? The ones that never baked. The ones that never became the bread of life. The ones that were full of themselves instead of the husk of the Spirit. He said, I'll give you one penny for three. Bring me three measures of barley, and I'll give you one penny for it. Why? Because I love those barley Christians. I'm not sending them to hell. I love them, but I can't use them. But I tell you what, if you've got any wheat, I'll give you a penny for just one of those, because they're worth more to my kingdom than the barley is. In other words, I'll give you a penny, but I need three of those rebellious Christians that won't burn. I love them, but no value. But I'll tell you what I'll do. If you've got some of that good wheat that was willing to burn in the fire, I'll increase the value of those, and I'll give you one penny for just one of those. My God. But hold on now. This year we found out something that we didn't know last year about the feast of first fruit. Everybody in the church world's only preaching about the feast of barley and wheat, which is the first 50 days. But in 1948, in the Qumran scrolls, we found the calendar of the priest of Zadok. And we found out that in the house of Israel for over 1,000 years, at the end of the first 50 days, they didn't stop counting like we do. We found out that they started counting all over again. Another 50 days. Do you know why? Because at the end of that 50 days was another first fruit that came forth. It was called wine, the new wine. But they didn't stop there. The moment that 50 days came, they started all the way over. And now they started counting 50 more days. Because at the end of that 50 days came in the feast of the oil. And do you know what happened right after the feast of oil? The feast of trumpets, the coming of the Lord. I need somebody to work with me right quick now. Here's what God said. When you came to this altar, Brother Ricky, you came in at a barley level. You were rough. You were tough. You were unbreakable. You were Ricky's own God. You were rebellious. But you wanted to be saved. You didn't want to go to hell. But you also didn't want to be changed. That's a barley Christian. I feel the revelation of the Spirit of God. But when you receive the Holy Ghost at the altar, it began cracking. It began breaking that old husk, because the wheat germ is inside your rebellion. The wheat germ that we need to find to produce a loaf feel my help. And we're going to turn you into wheat. Now those Christians are your 60-fold believers. But there's another category here that God places greater value on. Oh my God. He said, I'll put a price on the barley Christian and even the wheat Christian. But if that Christian will let me continue to burn them, I'll produce something better than bread. There's two more levels in your walk with God. Remember, barley is the food of animals. Wheat is the food of men. Wine is the food of the kings. But oil was always said to be the food of the gods. Now why? Because it's the most hardest thing to extract from your life is the oil. Remember, think it not strange. Be happy. Do you have the oil of gladness? If you do, God's going to find it when he burns you. Notice what he said. I'll pay you for the barley and I'll pay you for the wheat. But I want to tell you something about those that let me turn them into wine and oil. They're invaluable to me. Don't you let nothing touch them. The Feast of Pentecost is about your change from barley to oil. And ladies and gentlemen, do you know when the Feast of Oil is? It's real simple. If barley to wheat is 50 days, and if wheat to oil, wine is 50 days. And if wine to oil is 50 days, this is a symbol of the continual work of the Holy Spirit in your life, of your change. And listen carefully. If you let him keep burning you, you're going to become kings and priests, because the oil represents the priesthood and the wine represents kingship. And who is it that's going to rule during the millennium? You have made us what? Kings and priests unto our God. Oil and wine. The Holy Spirit didn't stop when he filled you. He started. And that's why I tell folks, if you're operating in the gifts of the Spirit, but you're not changing, you're not being transformed, you're not glad when all men hate you, then it's possible that you have a different Holy Spirit than the one that's true. This Spirit will make you faithful. Because in your barley level, you weren't faithful. And you know the sad thing about this sermon tonight? You know the sad thing? Some of you are bored with it. Do you know why? Because you have no desire to be pleasing to the Lord. You want to be saved. How selfish. How selfish. I just came to the Lord for what I could get. He knows. But there's some that came to him for what they could give. I surrender all. Let's stand tonight. Sing it with us.
I've come to pour my praise on him like oil from Mary's alabaster box. Don't be angry If I wash his feet with my tears and dry them with my hair. You weren't there the night he found me. You could not feel what I felt when he wrapped his loving arms around me. And you don't know the cost of the oil in my alabaster box. I've come to pour my praise on him like oil from Mary's alabaster box. Don't be angry when I wash his feet with my tears and dry them with my hair. You were there the night he found me, yeah. You would not feel what I felt when he wrapped his loving arms around me. And you don't know the cost of the oil. Oh, you don't know the cost of my praise. You don't know the cost of the oil in my alabaster box.
If you're in this room tonight and you say, Pastor Vaughn, I want to be broken.
Surrender.
I want to surrender.
All.
I want God to make me something he can use. And tonight, if you're serious and you're ready to give it all up for him, I want you to slip out of your pew. And I want you to find a place to pour your oil out. To pour your oil out. Sing that oil. Sing about that oil as they come. I want you to find a place to pour that oil out tonight. If you don't want to do it, don't come. But if you want to surrender and let him burn you and break you and pour out the oil, please come tonight.
Mary's alabaster box. Don't be angry if I wash his feet with my tears and dry them with my hair. You weren't there the night he found me. Yes, you did not feel what I felt when he wrapped his loving arms around me. And you don't know the cost of the oil. You don't know the cost of my praise. You don't know the cost of the oil in my alabaster box. You don't have to be afraid. Mercy said no. Sin was gonna take control. Life and death stood face to face. Oh, but mercy said no. I've come to pour my praise on him like oil from Mary's alabaster box. Don't be angry If I wash his feet with my tears and dry them with my hair. You were there the night he found me. You did not feel what I felt when he wrapped his loving arms around me. And you don't know the cost of the oil.
For everybody else, would you come now?
You don't
know
the
cost
of my praise.
Everybody, would you come? Everybody, would you just stand in his presence? Come on, you don't have nowhere else to go. You don't have nothing else to do. This is the Sabbath day. Come and stand in the presence of the Lord. Take me to the King.
I don't have much to bring. My heart's torn in pieces. Here's my offering.
If you don't have the Holy Spirit, you can receive it tonight. All you have to do is repent of your sins and ask the Lord to baptize you with the Holy Ghost.
To you, this song, take me to the King.
Take me to the King.
Take me to the King.
Sing it tonight.
I don't have much to bring. My heart's torn in pieces. Here's my offering. Take me to the throne. Leave me there alone to gaze upon your glory and sing to you the song. Take me to the King.